patreon.com/thewalkoffpodcast. $4 a month gets you in there.
Baseball, Blue Jays, and more baseball. It's the walk-off with Scott Belford and Adam Mack.
This ball is crushed.
The Die Hard podcast for the casual fan.
And another one. My goodness.
It is a Monday morning mailbag on a Tuesday afternoon kind of day. I'm Scott Belford, joined as always by the best co-host in the biz, Adam Mack. Mr. Mack, we've got all sorts of questions to get to today.
A lot of good ones.
You can always reach out to us on Twitter at Walk Off Podcast. We've got a couple from there. You can reach out to us on Instagram, The Walk Off Podcast. You can get a hold of us on Discord. We always are combing through the Discord threads and kind of grabbing stuff from there. Maybe you don't know exactly if it's going to be on Mailbag or not, but I do keep my eye on it. Yeah, the Patreon. You get priority if you're in the Patreon. Just one of the many little extras that we give to our Patreon members. And of course, we truly appreciate anyone paying that buck a month for a couple of boneheads. We love this community and obviously try to comb through all the comments and questions you have the best we can and not pick one person week after week. So again, we try and do it as fairly as possible. We are at a point where we're probably, what, buddy, scratching the surface of like 2-5% of the interactions we're getting is what we can address. Yeah, there's That's a great. Lot.
We do read everything. If you want your comment read on Mailbag, write a better comment. That's my best advice.
This is on you.
So
before I get into this, I never do self-promotion, but I am trying to get a little bit better of it here. Any East Coasters listening? All right, I'm going to be headlining the Yuck Yucks in Halifax this weekend. We're going to put the link for the tickets in the show notes here. But yeah, I'm there Friday and Saturday. So all the Halifaxers that are Blue Jays fans, I'm working on some baseball jokes. So what I suggest, you come on out and we turn this from a comedy show into a Blue Jays TED Talk. All right, that's the goal here.
I love it. The art of the drag bunt. Okay, that's great. Before we were rolling, I said, Scott, make sure you have a nice, concise shout out for the end of the podcast. And he goes, I'm leading with it. So
yes, gonna lead with it. I'll do a nice, concise one at the end too. How's that? A double promo.
All right, promo sandwich. Let's go. Let's hit it. You mentioned the Patreon, patreon.com/walkoffpodcast. I forgot to scroll the Patreon for mailbag questions today because I'm a loser. But we do have one from Wyatt, and I knew because I checked it yesterday and I even hashtag mailbagged him. So Wyatt threw this one in and I'm just going to read it now so I don't forget it by the end of the episode. So Wyatt says, hey, how quickly do you think those sports analysts change their tune about the World Baseball Classic if USA wins the whole thing? Because, and I quote, nobody cares about the World Baseball Classic. Would you say irony? Or poetry written by the baseball gods?
I would say poetry written by the baseball gods. That's a fantastic comment. Honestly, dude, I was thinking that watching the game last night, Mexico-Japan, incredible baseball. Mm-hmm. Some of the best baseball I've seen since literally watching the Phillies lose the World Series
right
to the Astros. Like it was meaningful. It was quality, you know, the guys were dialed in, everyone was focused back and forth. The crowd was absolutely just on fire. And I found myself thinking, like, these guys who came out and with these strong stances, these hot takes,
that these New York Met fans, is basically what
yes,
it was.
Exactly. That this is so meaningless and nobody cares. I wonder if they are changing their tune, but that's not how hot takes work, right? You die with your hot take. You're just trying to get clicks and get people to interact.
Now, in my experience, a hot take is followed by an immediate 180 and a hope that no one remembers your hot take from yesterday.
Yes.
You go, I've been on board since day one. I've deleted that tweet and nothing on the internet is forever.
Yes.
Just kidding, kids. Everything on the internet is forever. There's no such thing as a delete button. People will find your old Hot Takes Exposed. So
my headshot from 14 years ago proves that. Try and get rid of that thing. Every show I go to, I'm like, I didn't even send this to you. How did you find this?
All right. So there's a challenge for the walk-off community. Go dig up Scott's 14-year-old headshot and please send it to me for next mailbag. Do my homework for me so I don't have to find it. There you go. Okay. So thanks for that one, Wyatt, and thanks for the support on Patreon. Reminder, a week from today, March 28th, we've got a double billing of Trivia Night. So we got Moneyball to make up for last month, followed by Basketball. Multiple choice questions. I've written them myself. There's a mix of some low-hanging fruit. There's a mix of some weird, challenging questions that are a little bit obscure. So it's a pretty chill night. First night was about half hour to 45 minutes. So I'm expecting about an hour, hour and 15 for tonight. But yeah, come on. It's a fun time. So if you're paying for the Patreon, get in there on Tuesday night if you're free and win a free hat or something. So there you go.
Yes, there will be prizes. And then we are keeping track of the score. So this is kind of playing the long game here. We're giving some significant stuff away at the end of the season,
yeah.
But you gotta win those trivia nights to get it.
I'll also remind everybody, don't forget to hit the submit button. It's not enough to make your selection and then wait for the timer to run out. You do need to hit the submit button or you're going to get a zero on those. Learn that the hard way.
This seems like a problem that has happened in the past. Yes.
Okay. Not for Ian. Ian ran away with the score because he was hitting submit on.
He was hitting submit. Right. That's like when you see the sign on the fridge door that says, please close fridge door. You know, that sign didn't exist.
Yeah.
Exactly. You know, it was a problem. Until people were like, the food keeps going bad because people are leaving the fridge door open.
Well, it's funny because we did it on Zoom, right? Like everyone's got their webcams off except for me, but we're having a conversation while we're doing it, right? And Coach Keith was having a hard time because his score was like still zero and Ian's running away with it. And then, you know, Ian pointed out that, like, oh, I just, so you know, like, you, there is a submit button, I guess, on the phone or whatever device you're on. It might be like off screen too low. So Ian did point out that there was a submit button. And then Coach Keith goes, oh, that's what it's been this whole time. So we got about like six questions in. And then I think Ian said something like, yeah, I noticed that earlier, but I didn't speak up. So he let himself get a six question lead before he pointed out the submit button.
He let himself get a nice lead and then was like, hey, love that. Coach Keith too. Like Coach Keith, really big supporter of the walk-off community. We appreciate Coach. And he was actually down in Springs training in Dunedin, catching some games, but he reminds me of myself quite a bit when it comes to technology. Like he just like gets frustrated and he's like, this is such shit. Like I got a couple messages from him when he was trying to join Patreon and he was like, I don't get it. Right. Like,
interesting. That's awesome. Now that you've pointed out, I could see the similarities too, having to deal with both of you. All right. I'm just kidding. Okay, let's get back to mailbag here. Next one comes in from Instagram. So Josh says, please relay this to Mark Shapiro. Last night at the World Baseball Classic, the most electric player in baseball, Randy Arozarena, made the most electric play in baseball, robbing a home run, in the most casual way. And it was insanity. Please, Mr. Shapiro, explain how 10 to 14 foot walls are entertaining. Also, I did my homework, fellas. It was a 7-foot wall out there in Miami last night.
It was an amazing catch. Did you see the catch, dude?
I did. I watched the highlights. Of course, if I see a headline that says home run robbery, of course I'm clicking on that.
Yeah, it was phenomenal. Just the way he tracked that ball down, buddy. Like he just, the eye contact he had with that ball, like he just knew exactly where it was going to be. He knew exactly where the wall was. It was so impressive. It was great outfielding and just great defense. But yeah, man, robbed that home run. Like,
hey, you know, this is where I keep griping on it, is like, that's a 14-foot wall in Toronto. He's not robbing a home run. The exact same play is took away a double.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just not, doesn't carry the same weight. So, all right. 7-foot walls, bring them back to Toronto, bring them to Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, these 10 to 14 foot walls drive me nuts. Okay. Next comment. I got a message the other day. This was actually yesterday about the Mexico Japan semifinal game. I got money on Mexico. If they win, I win. If they score 3 runs, I win big. If it goes to extra innings, I win huge. And if more than 10.5 runs are scored, I win big. So do you win big, Scott? These messages are from you.
These are from me. So, buddy, I gotta tell you, man, I was like in the bottom of the ninth there. There was so much opportunity for me to win like a ridiculous amount of money. So this is what I did. Okay. I put $50 on Mexico to win. They were 3-1 odds. So if I win, that's $150. Then I put $50 on 10.5 runs or more. And that was x3. So I win $150 if that wins. Then I put $50 on it going to extra innings. Now, if it went to extra innings, that $50 was $500. Then in the fifth inning, I put $50 down on Japan winning because it was now 4-1 odds. So
you and your live betting, hedging your bets all over the place. I love this.
Yeah. So in the bottom of the ninth, dude, when it was 5-4 for Mexico and Shohei Ohtani's on second base, all I could think is I'm like, oh my God, it's 5-4. If Shohei can score and then they stop Japan from scoring again and it goes to extra innings, I win right across the board. It
now doesn't even matter. The over the on game. The 10.5 and the extra innings, and you've got a payout for either side winning. Well, eh?
I still wound up being up about $200 after all said and done with Japan winning and then the 10.5 runs being broken. But yeah. And honestly, dude, I don't know what made me bet. Like, I haven't bet in so long, but I was just like, I'm doing it. I'm going for it.
And you just explained a gambling addiction.
Hmm.
Okay. Don't bet unless you have the money to lose, because you probably will. That's our disclaimer, right? But sometimes you win and it's fun.
Yes, that's right. Sometimes you win. I was hedging all over the place, making sure that I at least came up a little.
There you go. All right. Next one comes in from Oshawa Bob. No relation to Dunedin Bob.
Says different Scott Bobs.
Different Bobs. First name, not last name. Says Scott and Adam, the other channels, I wish them all well, but this channel is very professional, truly informative, and not just going for clickbait. Not sure why your views are down, but maybe because your followers are incredible intelligence and see the work and research that goes into your channel. Anyways, you both are awesome and respectful of your guests and followers. So, of course, appreciate the loving comments.
Yeah.
So what did I do with yesterday's episode? I titled it Toronto Blue Jays No News. Insert clickbait title here. And I got some suckers to fall for that. I'm kidding. Some of our regulars, though, played along with the joke. Mantis Toboggan, Dr. Mantis Toboggan, said the clickbait got me, but I'm here for it. And Marcus Glove Watches says, damn, fooled by the clickbait again. I was a little worried because you sent me a screenshot of it, and I wasn't sure if that was going to be an obvious joke or not, or if maybe you would have been concerned that that was my template name for the video and I forgot to update it or something. So
I have a baseball group chat and that picture came up, and then friend of the show, Juan Forno, Seattle boy, right? He was like, this is the most funny thing that you guys have done in a long time. I was like, that's kind of a backhanded compliment, but thank you.
All right. We're having fun on here. We're having fun on here. All right. Let's get to the next one then. We had some more homework checked for us. So this one comes in from Brian Boder. Says, this is in response to our discussion about Ben Joyce yesterday. And I had proposed the idea of would you not trade your first or second round draft pick for a top flight relief pitcher, right? Insert any name you want. Emmanuel Clase was one that was brought up in the comments. Great closer as an option there. Not saying Ben Joyce is going to be somebody's fireballer at the back of the bullpen. A lot of things still need to go right for Ben Joyce for that to happen. But Brian did point out that, of course, MLB doesn't allow trades of draft picks. But trading for established players is different than drafting players anyways. And that's a fair point.
Major League Baseball is very strict that you draft that player and then you can trade him 1 hour later. Exactly. You do not slide that pick over. How dare you even consider it?
And it's dumb. And I knew this because this came up on like one of our first seasons of the walk-off as we're entering season four, I believe now. This is the dumbest thing baseball does as far as like roster management goes. Every other professional sports league, at least in North America, I can't speak for soccer leagues and cricket and stuff like that. But why doesn't, I mean, we don't have to spend too much time on this, but it is dumb that MLB does not allow the trading of draft picks. I don't, it's frustrating.
I don't really know the math behind that, the reasoning, you know, like I don't know what the thinking is on not allowing it, other than maybe there's just so much development that goes into the players and they just are like, we don't wish to deal with. I don't know. I actually don't know. Like I'm trying to come up with some sort of valid excuse that I can't.
Everything should be tradable. Like international free agent pool money should be tradable.
I mean, there's the scene in Moneyball. There's the scene in Moneyball when they are on the plane and the assistant GM is talking to David Justice, right? Of course, the assistant GM played by Seth Rogen's buddy. How do I always forget this dude's name? The big guy, curly hair. You know who he is. Super bad.
Jonah.
Yes, Jonah Hill. Sarah?
Jonah Hill.
I swear to God, dude, I forget that dude's name so much. I can never think of his name. I don't know what my problem is. Anyways, way to completely derail myself here, Scott. Great job. So he's talking to David Justice about David Justice asks him why they need to pay for soda in the clubhouse. Mm-hmm. And he's like, we're trying to keep the money on the field. And he's like, soda money? And then later, right, Billy Bean demands in the trade that they also fill his soda fridge for the rest of the year, sure. Right? So if you can trade soda, you can literally acquire soda, but you can't trade a draft pick. It's messed up.
It's dumb. You know, it's
but just, if you're smarter than us, if you're listening to this and you're smarter than us and you know the actual reason why draft picks are not allowed to be traded, please drop that comment down below, baby. I'd love to know the actual reason.
It's just like a good mechanism for balancing trades.
Mm-hmm.
Like, rather than, you know, because you get, I mean, look, the Dalton Varsho, Lourdes Gurriel, Gabriel Moreno trade, right? Maybe Moreno was the guy we did not want to let go, but he was that's how the Diamondbacks valued our catchers the most, and we had to do it, right? But if draft picks were allowed to be traded, maybe there's a creative solution where we go, okay, Dalton Varsho and your second draft pick for Gurriel, Jansen, and our first draft pick. Right. Yeah. And it's like, okay, you're not getting quite the catcher you wanted, but you know, you're moving up 60 spots in the draft, or, you know, whatever the case may be. I don't know. It's just in such an analytics driven game. I don't know why they handcuff themselves when it comes to transactions and stuff. I just don't see the upside, what the benefit is to not.
No, I don't get it either. But again, there's probably somebody smarter out there than us who knows the reason. Please fill us in. We're just two morons trying to get through the day, guys.
All right. Next one comes in from Twitter. So at Bankrupt on Twitter DM'd us and said, any chance that this Jose Altuve injury leads to a path where Toronto makes a trade from our pool of second basemen. Brackets, please not Espy. Biggio to Houston seems almost like a dream fit from a family legacy standpoint. Is there a fit? We need some starter depth.
Okay, so this comment stood out to me, and I know we brought it up in yesterday's show, and we're kind of saving the meat of it for today. The Blue Jays are deep in that second base position, right? Whit Merrifield, Kevin Biggio, Santiago Espinal are all going to break with the team. Otto Lopez most likely as well. In the minors, they've got Addison Barger knocking on the door. They've got Aroldis Martinez to play some short and some second. There are guys who play second base within this system coming up, knocking on the door, besides the three that are already going to be on a merry-go-round for playing time there. Jose Altuve took a ball to the hand in that final game of the WBC for his team there. Venezuela, and he broke his hand, needs to get surgery. They're saying that it's somewhere between 8 to 12 weeks that he's going to be on the shelf. So if this is a 3-month injury, it is possible that the Houston Astros are interested in getting a somewhat cheap replacement who could fill in admirably over those 3 months and then still have some use when it comes to sliding around the diamond. Santiago Espinal fits in beautifully in that. Kevin Biggio fits in beautifully with that idea. And there is the legacy of the Biggio name in Houston. How likely is this? I don't know. How much would Houston truly... I don't know the Astros minor league system. Like we know the Blue Jays system, like you and I, Adam, are so tapped into this Blue Jays minor league system because we're constantly having the boys on the show and interviewing the affiliates up and down the organization. But I really don't know much about Houston. So is there a viable option within the organization that makes more sense and would save them moving assets around? I don't know.
I mean, as much as I hate Houston, Houston might be my second least favorite team in baseball, behind, of course, the Yankees. But
of course,
Houston, very capable at developing players. I mean, Carlos Correa left and they replaced him with rookie of the year, almost World Series MVP, Jeremy Pena, Mr. Biceps himself. I have to assume that they've got in-house talent that's probably more appealing at like given a shot to than Kevin Biggio.
Now that said, Aldemiz Diaz, who Blue Jays fans will remember from his tenure with the Jays a few years ago, he was of course moved to Houston from the Blue Jays and has been kind of their bench guy, utility dude. He is in Oakland now. So there is a spot possibly, if there isn't someone within that organization that's knocking on the door right now, and it would possibly make some sense. And yes, the Blue Jays do need some depth starting, and the Astros are loaded with that. So there is a fit. There is a possibility there. I don't think that we're going to see it happen. I know that there's still a lot of Blue Jays fans out there that feel like there is going to be another move before the start of the season that will clear some things up at second base. I'm not one of those guys.
I would say it would be professional malpractice if Ross Atkins didn't pick up the phone.
Yes.
I'll say that. It is just an obvious connection. You have a competitive team in need. We have, again, it's in a position of abundance. Whether you just say, hey, which of our three guys would you be most interested in? And then what is the return on that? And then you see, okay, we're miles apart.
Yeah.
You know, okay, we got to go lobby, you know, the commissioner to allow us to trade draft picks so we can balance this trade out. But short of that, we're not getting a deal done. But I'm sure Ross Atkins was kicking the tires and seeing if something could be happening. You know, again, I don't think we're in a rush to pull the trigger. Certainly, if anybody's in a position of pressure to make a move, it's Houston. But again, they're probably going to start April with some in-house talent and at least evaluate it that way. Like, it is a very deep team. This is the, of all the teams, you know, defending World Series champion, sneak into the playoffs, right? Like, they can afford a slow April, May, and June playing around 500 ball, and they're still going to be above 500 without Jose Altuve.
This is, and then
getting
them
back at the trade deadline, like, they can sneak into the playoffs at, you know, 90 wins or 91 wins or whatever it is, and they're still going to be World Series favorites, you know, come October.
And this is the thing that you maybe don't need to, as the Houston Astros, make a knee-jerk reaction here, because you can still do a move like this, a Kevin Biggio move you could do in May. Right? Like, a lot of these teams are going to hold on to high-end assets until the trade deadline. But in a scenario like that, right? Like, play this out, okay? The AL West, I don't know if there is a bigger question mark on a division in all of baseball, right? What are the Texas Rangers going to be? We don't know. They could be actually a pretty good team this year, but I got to see it first. Prove it, Texas, right? The yeah. Angels might take a step forward from last year, especially after this WBC and watching Shohei and Trout be so passionate about their teams winning. And you know what? Those two guys get a taste of winning, something that they don't really get to experience very often in LA. And who knows where 2023 could go? The Seattle Mariners. Right. So all of these teams that I'm mentioning here, Adam, I'm only bringing it up because this is a division where you are right, where right now Houston can afford to stand pat. I don't think that they need to move any assets around to try and fill a hole there at second where Altuve is. But maybe they reevaluate early May and they're like, holy shit, the Rangers are for real. And the Mariners are for real. And now we're fighting it out for third place right now with a 500 Los Angeles Angels team, and we don't wish Kevin to lose Biggio much more ground. To write this we need ship. Kevin Biggio to plug the hole. Yeah, I know. It's
all right. I love it. I think a great new segment for the show would be knee-jerk reactions. So need a beef jerky company to get on board and sponsor that section. So Medicine Hat Meat Traders, if you're listening, reach out to us.
We want you to want us.
Best beef jerky in Canada. There you go. Made with the best beef of the world. Old-fashioned product, new world flavors, soft texture, Western knowledge. Medicine Hat Meat Traders. Okay.
Good for you. We're really laying it on thick here.
Yeah, for the 0% chance.
If you own a jerky company, we could use your name there.
Exactly. Knee-jerk reactions presented by Beef Jerky of Old Dutch potato chips. Do they make beef jerky? I feel like they must.
You would hope so. They're really dropping the ball if not.
If they're not, yeah. I want a potato chip flavored beef jerky. Give me a nice ketchup or dill pickle beef jerky and I'm all over it. Well, we've officially gone off the rails, so. right back into the swing of things. All right, let's pivot now to.
Our listeners don't know what to do, Adam, because they've never experienced this from us before.
Yeah, they're like, what is happening here? All right.
These two are normally so focused on the track. Yeah.
All right. Next Twitter question comes in from Buddy on a Couch. Says, hey, guys, been listening to the podcast for a couple months now. It's awesome. Really love the content. You guys are also super focused and never get off the rails, which I appreciate. My favorite play in baseball has almost completely disappeared from the game, the drag bunt. My commitment to the Jays this year, first player to bunt for a base hit this season, I'm getting their jersey. Your guesses on who that'll be. Drag bunt, Scott, that's when you dress up as a very gaudy woman, right? And you bunt. The RuPaul bunt of baseball. I don't know if that's offensive or not. It's probably offensive. I don't mean offense. Are you saying
someone in drag can't drop down a bunt? Reminds me of the scene in Major League when Harris is like sitting around Joe Boo's thing there. And he's like, are you telling me Jesus Christ can't hit a curveball?
He Yeah, that's one of the best lines in that movie. Yeah, no, okay. I'm sure there are plenty of drag queens who can lay down a bunt. So let's make our predictions for first Blue Jay to bunt. Here's a stipulation I want clarification on. Oh, no, it's right in the question. I double read it. Here we go. The first player to bunt for a base hit. Not yes. a sacrifice bunt, not an attempted bunt, successful bunt to get on base. Guesses.
Well, I am going to go with our newly acquired left fielder, Dalton Varsho, of course, over from the Arizona Diamondbacks for Lourdes and Moreno. He hit 9 bunts for singles last year, 6 of them against left-handed hitters or left-handed pitching. Of course, he doesn't do all that great against left-handed pitching, so that's one of the reasons why he lays bunts down more often. By the way, 9 bunt singles is more than the entire Blue Jays team combined last year. So my money is on Dalton Varsho.
Dalton Varsho, 9 bunt singles last year. I hope those, when I was a kid playing ball, you'd have like a stretch where you are slumping and you'd lay down a bunt just as a slump buster.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, I just gotta get on base. You know, I just gotta get out of this 0 for 16 rut that I'm in. I hope that's not Dalton Varsho. It's like he had 9 slumps that he had to bust with a bunt last year. Dalton Varsho is a good choice.
9 bunt singles and 27 home runs. There's not very many guys in baseball that you can throw those kind of numbers out. Yeah.
You know what? You often get the fun category of like the 2020 club or the 30, you know, like 30 home runs and 30 stolen bases or whatever, right? Pretty exclusive club to be a member of. I wonder what the number is for like the 30-10 club, the 30 home runs and 10 bunt singles.
Ooh,
that's a pretty exclusive.
I don't
club.
Know if that's even ever been. Yeah. Like,
someone do the homework again, on that.
Someone do the homework and tell us.
Right. This is, we're good at doing questions. It's the answers we struggle with.
Yeah. Yeah. We've got questions. Do you have the answers?
All right. I'm going to throw to you now for a Discord thread, Scott.
Right. For Discord. Yeah. There was a thread going there yesterday that was interesting. I know Mustard Kegger, Tagger.
Tagger.
Okay. Mustard Tiger. Mustard Tiger posted the TSN article on Joey Votto and the fact that Nick Kroll, GM for the Cincinnati Reds, stated that he would like Joey Votto to retire in a Reds uniform. But then he had a little caveat where he said, listen, if the Reds are completely out of the playoff picture come the trade deadline, and Toronto, he brought up the Blue Jays specifically, came knocking, that he would consider making a deal.
Now, if there's one thing we know about Joey Votto, it's that his blood runs red. He is proud of his Canadian roots and all that Baseball Canada has done for him. Canadian through and through, right? And I say that with full sarcasm. And if you're not aware, do some homework on Joey Votto and his stance on Baseball Canada. I digress.
There was a statement back in 2018 where he was asked about his feelings on Baseball Canada. And basically his response was, I could take it or leave it. I don't really care. I don't feel like they did all that much for me. I mean, I'm paraphrasing here. He did later come out. Sorry, go ahead, Adam.
This was something to do with him, I think, playing in Toronto. Like, it was a trip to Toronto, I think, and they asked about, like, he was going to be facing a Canadian pitcher in Toronto and kind of what the cool factor of that. And that was kind of the context of this question even getting asked. So he was like, I don't really fucking give a shit.
Yeah. And then, I mean, he did walk it back afterwards when the Canadian media got a hold of it and just blew it up, right? But I don't think that going home to Toronto is maybe as high on Joey Votto's priority list as it is on Toronto's priority list to bring him back. I mean, the fan base, not the organization. I don't think that this is something that's going to happen. But anyways, this is where the thread goes from there. Okay, so Forbesby Jr. chimes in and he's like, it'd be cool, but I don't see a fit unless Brandon Belt or God forbid Vladdy go down with an injury. So Votto, of course, plays first base. It's already a pretty darn crowded position. And unless Belt completely falls on his face or is injured and can't be that lefty bat they're hoping him to be, I don't see a place for Votto. The thread carries on. Scott Adams, the Jays fan, gets in on the combo. He says, I get the impression Votto wouldn't ask either. So there's probably no demands being made on Joey's side.
I mean, I think if Joey Votto's asking for a trade to Toronto, it's probably because of, like a bad taco situation. He sees a good fit, wants to finish his career in a competitive environment. But I don't think that Toronto is any more special. Like, if the Yankees needed a first base slash DH, I think he would be like, trade me to the Yankees or trade me to the Astros or whoever. Like, I think he may be open to leaving the Reds and not retiring a Red if he sees a contender that has a real shot at a World Series that he fits with. Right.
But 39-year-old,
I also don't think he wants to add to a competitive team just for a sake of winning a World Series where he's just a bench piece. Like, I think it would have to be a contender where he goes, okay, something just happened over there and I would fit in. I would get regular playing time on a contending team. I think that would have to happen.
And the truth is, with 39-year-old Joey Votto, he's not what he used to be, man. He's not the player he used to be. He has been below average when it comes to offense since last season. He's basically still playing in a Reds jersey because they owe him $25 million. I think that he probably would consider retirement at this point in his career if there wasn't so darn much money on the line, which is another reason why it is possible that the Reds would want to get out from under Votto's contract. Now, the only way I can see the Blue Jays being in on Votto is if they're giving up almost nothing and this is just a money thing to add a draft pick or something. You know, like I just don't see the value in Votto that maybe would have been there if we were talking about this 2 years ago, right? Sure. Anyways, SCTI finishes this off with poo-pooing on the whole thing. He says, seems like a spring training fluff piece for a team not expected to compete. He's probably in the best shape of his career, though.
All right. Well, I have nothing to add.
Nope. They summed it up pretty well.
Okay. Speaking of spring training fluff pieces, then we'll add this comment to this. So this one comes in from Toons Days with Johnny. Says, just an FYI, Varsho's spring training slashes last year were 182, 270, 485. So not very good. Here are some other fellas who had bad spring trainings last year as well. Worse than Varsho's this year or last year. Corey Seager, Ian Happ, Rhys Hoskins, Jose Ramirez, Alex Bregman, Wander Franco, Brandon Nemo, Bo Bichette, Mike Trout. And I could go on listing a bunch of guys who had very fine seasons despite bad springs. But what's the point? We all know that the point is that this is just spring training. P.S. I do see the irony in using spring training stats to prove a point about not using spring training stats to prove a point. But I think it somehow proves the point even further. Maybe I just springceptioned myself. So tip of the cap to Johnny there. Was a comment that made my morning when I read it. Yeah, it's funny. I mean, this is how I feel about spring training, though, is like some guys, I just feel okay with them showing up to work with a hangover. And I'm just like, Alek Manoah could show up to spring training with a hangover and I'm going to feel okay. You know, other guys, you know,
a little perspective. That's what that comment was a little perspective in it. It was beautifully put.
There you go. Toons Days with Johnny, by the way, Toons Days with Johnny, nice little musical channel. So if you're interested in, Johnny's playing his guitar, singing some old classics and stuff. So
Nice.
Johnny, I've been listening to your playlist there while I do my video editing lately. So some good old classics from Johnny there. So. Okay, we're going to end on this. Actually, you know what? Johnny, we have a new walk-off podcast intro that's been written. Scott and I can't sing, so maybe reach out to me if you want to sing and play the guitar for our new walk-off baseball-themed intro. So there you go. Shoot us a message.
Written by a robot, right?
This written is by a written robot. By a robot. Well, written by a robot, but in the voice of Bob Seger.
Yes.
So it doesn't get much better than that, right? Doesn't get much better than that. Okay, we're going to end with this. Shout out to the Jay Bird Watching Podcast.
Yes.
Scott, you were on it on Thursday. Mm-hmm. Good podcast, good boys over there. They do something called the podcast game on their show. They got you to participate. You stole their bit and performed it yourself.
Took that bit right away. Yeah.
Anyways, we got inundated with lots of people who joined in on the fun. DMs on Twitter, Instagram, lots of comments on our YouTube videos. So we just wanted to select a few of the ones that made us laugh and forward them with the rest of the ball community so you guys can have a laugh too.
So for those of you who don't know what the game is, basically what you do is you take two Blue Jays from throughout history. Now they're podcast partners and you've got to name their podcast.
Nailed it. That's it. Okay. So I got a couple to get to here. First one comes in from JH the Act. Says, here's for the podcast game. On the Periphery with Butch Edge and Pat Borders.
Love it.
The puns are, I don't know. I love puns. I know like some people are like comedy snobs about like, oh, and they groan at puns, but like they're a well-written pun that's like just clever enough. You know, that's, that gets,
I could not agree more, man. Yeah, puns get me every time.
All right, next one comes in from D. Cooper. Says, oh, by the way, friend of the show, Mark Repchinski and Jared Saltalamacchia could have a podcast, but don't ask me how to spell it. Very fun. I'm going to put you on the spot, Scott. Friend of the show, Mark Repchinski.
Yes. Scrabble.
Spell his name.
Zed.
Wrong.
Oh. No, wait. R-Z-E-P-C?
Yeah.
H?
No.
Damn it.
There's another Z.
C-I-N.
No, there's another Z. There's another Z. R-Z-E.
Another Z, right.
Here it is. R-Z-E-P-C-Z. Y-N-S-K-I. Triple word score. Nailed it. And then I'm also going to add that you could have Frank Catalanato fill in as a guest host from time to time.
Like it. The cat.
Frank Catalanato. I still have that little jingle from the Sportsnet clips from my childhood. So, okay. Last three all come in from Dulcimerist, who probably... Probably submitted a dozen of these. Most of them, maybe not most of them. Some of them were not safe for work, so I can't read them at all. Little toilet humor in some of them. But here's three that I really enjoyed. So in the basement, this is Scott Downs and Matt Stairs, Downstairs production. I like it. All right. Next one comes in from, I guess, Darnell Coles and Derek Law. It's the side dish. The Coles Slaw podcast.
Okay.
Very good pun.
Very funny. Pun. Yeah.
And then the last one is Ryan Dull and Ron Fairley. So that it's not that interesting. The Fairley Dull podcast.
Very funny. Very funny. I love it. Thank you, everybody who... threw in some names for the podcast. Reading through the comments, I was laughing pretty good. I know a couple people reached out on Twitter with some of their own too. So fun little game there. Feel free if you've thought of something while we're doing this to drop it in the comments here. I always like having a little laugh. Thank you so much to the walk-off community. We really appreciate you. We do this every single week. We comb through your comments, through your interactions, and we do get to as many of them on Mailbag as we can. You can reach out on Twitter at Walk-Off Podcast, on Instagram, the Walk-Off Podcast. Message us in Discord. If you're looking to join the Discord, shoot us a message and we will send you a link to do so. Of course, a tip of the hat to all of you supporting us on Patreon. We really do appreciate it. I am going to be in Halifax performing at the Yuck Yucks this weekend. Tickets. The link is in the show notes. Hopefully we see you out. Cheers.
My mom and dad are still in town visiting, so Dad, I will see you for coffee soon.
Thanks for listening to the Walk Off Podcast with Scott Belford and Adam Mack, with a new episode every Friday.
Oh! With a drive. Season cracker shows to pitch to him.
Thanks for listening.